Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey, humans. Want to optimize your cardiovascular health with real data? SciFox Health offers the easiest, most affordable blood biomarker testing kits. Test 17 key biomarkers like cholesterol, ApoB, and hemoglobin A1C from the comfort of your own home and get results at your fingertips in just a few days. Get 20% off at SciFoxHealth.com/Yami. Know your biomarkers and live healthier.
People have been lied to. People have been lied to from the big food manufacturers, from healthcare, from big pharma. And part of what our gift is with what V-Lynn and I do is we share the truth about, okay, let's look at the information you've been given. How true is it? You look at the advertising on TV and how brainwashed people are with the advertisements for big pharma. And people really believe this information to be true. And then when you pull back the veil and you realize these people are in careers for the monetary gain more than the people gain. And so it's really, for me, when I can look at what I'm doing and say, am I putting people over profits or profits over people? Then I know if it's people over profits, then I know I'm doing the right thing.
You are here for a reason. But navigating this human life can be challenging. How do you care for your body, mind, and spirit to make the most of your time here on Earth? How can you harness your incredible human potential? In this podcast, we explore these questions and more to help you craft your best life yet. Welcome to I Am Human.
Hello, humans. I am your host, Dr. Yami, and I want to welcome you to another episode of I Am Human. Thank you so much for subscribing, rating, reviewing, and sharing this episode. To be human means to allow the journey of life to unfold and to take opportunities as they come, not being afraid to pivot and to reinvent yourself and your life. And my guests today are testaments to this. Kathleen Gage and V-Lynn Hawkins are co-founders of Vegan Visibility Productions, champion ethical entrepreneurship and plant-based living through their business offerings and their podcast, Veganpreneur Revolution. At 70, they exemplify the transformative power of veganism, living by the six pillars of lifestyle medicine for vitality and well-being. Join them in reshaping the entrepreneurial landscape with their commitment to sustainability and compassion. And in this episode, we talk about their vegan journeys and how they both adopted a plant-based diet, and then later veganism in their late 60s, in their mid to late 60s. So quite the stories. And now they have this amazing business where they help other vegan entrepreneurs really make an impact. We talk about what tips they have for people that are struggling to find a specific life purpose. We talk about why they're passionate about helping vegan businesses grow. We talk about ethical entrepreneurship, the power of pivot and reinvention in life and career, and tips for aging with grace and fire. It's a fabulous conversation. These ladies have a lot of experience and wisdom between the two of them. So there's so many little nuggets of wisdom that are spread throughout this episode. I know you're going to love them. You're going to fall in love with Kathleen and V-Lynn. I hope that you enjoy this episode. Thank you so much for being here. I hope that you have a fantastic day. And now let's welcome Kathleen Gage and V-Lynn Hawken.
The information on this podcast is for informational and educational purposes only. It is not meant to replace careful evaluation and treatment. If you have concerns about your health or well-being, please consult a healthcare professional.
Welcome, V-Lynn Hawken and Kathleen Gage to I Am Human. Thank you so much for being with me today.
Great to be here.
Thank you. It's an honor to be here. Thank you, Dr. Yami.
Well, I'm excited to learn more about each of you. So we could just go one at a time. How did you become vegan? And at what point did it influence or impact your career path? Let's start with Kathleen.
I actually started as a plant-based eater, and I started because of inflammation. I was 64 at the time. It was in 2018. And I thought, you know, maybe there's something I can do with my eating that would help. And I discovered that going plant-based and getting rid of all animal and dairy would make a difference. And within 2 days, the inflammation that I was experiencing was gone. And I gave it a 7-day trial period. I thought, okay, I'm going to try not eating meat and dairy for 7 days and see what happens. So for me, it wasn't anything to do with the animals, which is interesting because I've been rescuing animals for years. And so I was one of those who had a major disconnect in a lot of cognitive dissonance where here on the one hand, I'm rescuing animals and on the other hand, I'm eating them. And it was about 6 months into being plant-based. I had dropped a bunch of weight. I was feeling great. I was, you know, more vitality than I'd had in quite a while. I was at the grocery store and I had been doing a lot of research and watching the documentaries. And I was like, oh, that's all very interesting. But it had not really hit my heart at that point. It had not really hit my soul. I'm at the grocery store walking by the meat department, and literally I had a visceral response to looking at the meat, and I could hear the screams and the anguish of the animals. And it was kind of a spiritual awakening, if you will, where I realized that I had contributed to the pain and suffering. And it was in that moment that I actually decided, never going to eat meat or dairy again. And that went further and further into me being a vegan. So it was at that point I said, okay, I am vegan. Because prior to that, I didn't want to identify as a vegan because I was convinced that vegans were crazy, which, you know, we are, and but in a good way. And from that point forward, it really solidified my decision. And there are certain things I just don't do in life. And one is I do not consume animal and dairy. And I also have taken that into my personal products, my clothing that I buy, cosmetics, things of that nature. I look for cruelty-free and vegan. So that's a little bit of what my story is.
Wow, that's pretty amazing. I love that you attempted something for your health. How did you find out about plant-based diets and inflammation? Was there a book that you read? How did that come into your mind as an option to try?
That's a great question, Dr. Yami. The first book that I was introduced to was Dr. Joel Fuhrman's book, Eat to Live, which a lot of people are introduced that way. And it just almost seemed too good to be true. It's like, how can I get rid of the feeling of sluggishness and especially the inflammation, because it was in my wrist. And as a writer, that was really impacting and impeding my ability to work. And as I read more and more and I looked at the science of it, it made sense. And so really it started with Eat to Live. And then I read the one by Dr. Campbell. I'm trying to think of the name, the China study. And I just started reading more and more books. I started watching documentaries. I went on YouTube and started following experts. And I immersed myself in it. And I would say probably in a matter of months, I gained more knowledge than most people would gain in a lifetime, because most people aren't interested to know what the truth is. They're interested to know what convenience is and what their pleasures are. And what I realized was I had to make a decision. I was at a fork in the road, and it was really a matter of, am I going to know what the truth is and go back to my old behaviors, or am I going to know the truth and act on the truth?
I love that. I love that you took that initiative. And I've heard that from so many guests before, that it wasn't until after they removed the animal products that it's almost like your soul is able to align with your mind and your body at that point, and you're able to see really what you were already headed towards. Like, there was part of your soul that was like, I love animals, I want to rescue animals. And then there was part of you, that human side that maybe we'll talk about later, that was just like, no, we all eat meat. This is just part of life. This is just what I do. And then it was you having to let go of that for a different reason. So you didn't have cognitive dissonance there, right? It allowed that entry point. And then right. A few months later, everything aligned and you were like, okay, this aligns with all of my values.
Absolutely. And what I found interesting is I had to go through a grieving process and a forgiveness process, because I had to grieve the fact that I had been responsible for the pain and suffering of so many animals. And then I had to forgive myself for what I didn't know. And then once I did know, to really look at, okay, what am I going to choose on a daily basis? Because I'm a real believer that our daily choices reflect who we really are. We can talk about what we believe in, and we can say we believe in this, that, and the other, but it's our actions that really determine what our beliefs are.
Yes, beautiful. How about you, Velen? What's your story?
Similar, but there are some distinct differences. It's interesting, the time frame is about the same with making the decision to become plant-based. Actually, was working on a project with a gentleman who was very much into, we've got to get the word out, I want to do what I can do, and he came up with this project, and it was a video project, and we interviewed 35 medical doctors, of which the 7 luminaries were part of it. And so being a part of the production team that actually coordinated and was there doing the interviews, that was my foray. And that was a huge education, because you know, if Dr. Barnard is educating an audience on something, not only does it make sense, but you know, his personality comes out and his passion, and, you know, from Ornish to Dr. Campbell to Esselstyn and Dr. McDougall, rest his soul, all of them were my entry into this world. And we started the project in early 2017. And by 2018, I was like, oh, this is me. This is me, with having to communicate the reason for the project and having experimented because of what I had learned and watching even more videos and just communicating with people about getting the program and getting into the program. I was like, how can I be a part of a team that is marketing something and I don't do that. I do the things that I am passionate about, that I really feel aligned with. And I thought, well, if I'm aligned with all of this, I should be doing this 100%. So my going 100% was a real shift for me, only because in my family, my daughter, my grandson, I was the cook. I was the one that was preparing the meals. And it got to a point that everything that I was preparing tasted horrible, where I was getting accolades. Oh, this is so great. You know, this is your best one of the sweet potato pie or whatever it was. And then it's coming up horrible, tasting horrible. I was like, okay, what am I infusing into the food that I'm cooking for them that I wasn't eating anymore? And I finally had to one day sit them down and say, hey guys, I can't do this anymore. If I can't eat this, I'm feeling a certain way about it. And what I realized is I have to take care of me. you know, you're the youngsters, and I'm hoping that what I'm learning and sharing will also benefit you, but I've got to take care of me if I'm going to be here another 20, 30 years. And they were in agreement, and it felt like at first, you know, you talked about the loss. It felt like a loss at first, but then I quickly came to realize that how could I not do that? Because if I felt like that food was poisoning me, how good am I of a mother and a grandmother if I'm poisoning my family? And so it was really a major step for me in declaring that I'm going to do things differently going forward. And then, like Kathleen, I was like, yeah, the whole vegan thing, like, nope. I'm 100% plant-based. I'm going to go here. I'm going to be here. This is me. Because honestly, I knew some vegans who were, I was like perplexed as to why they were ill, why they were, you know, just in suffering the way that they were. And that's when I learned about being a junk food vegan and, you know, the ultra processed, even as vegans. And I was like, okay, but that wasn't enough. And it wasn't until 3 years ago, I was at a conference and a new friend who's a dear friend now actually introduced me to the concept of ahimsa. And I thought, ahimsa, compassion for the animals. And then, you know, it was easy to turn the mirror around and look at myself and say, I have to have compassion for myself. And I was able to, very much like Kathleen said, forgive myself for all of the years that I was poisoning myself. And, you know, I had a pet. One of my best friends is Hero, my little dog. And I was like, you know, how can I think about eating animals? I wouldn't eat Hero. I wouldn't eat the dog next door. I wouldn't eat, you know, if a cow was living next door on the farm next door. I couldn't see myself eating. When you get that close to somebody, and one of the interviews, we interviewed a woman who had a pot-bellied pig as a pet, who had their own room in their house. It was like their child, and they had two children. So this was another child. And I thought, you know, wow. And it took me back to whatever that TV show was, Green Acres, where the wife had her pot-bellied pig pet. And I thought, you know what, maybe there is something to this. And I started observing animals, and I started seeing the families and the mothers crying for their children being taken away from them. And, you know, just the screams going into slaughter. You know, and I'm from a background that those ties are very tight in me. You know, you talked about a visceral experience in the grocery store. Mine was thinking about how they used to treat slaves, you know, my ancestors, and how they would march them to the places where they were going to be killed, or, you know, judging them erroneously and still murdering them. That's what I kind of related to. Where animals were, and chickens, and, you know, not just the cows, but the chickens too. And I was a chicken lover. And so it was really eye-opening and heart-opening for me too. I think that I had a higher level of communication with spirit because of it. I had a deeper sense of who I am because of it. And for me, it was not health at first, but health became a really big issue for me. I now have undergone 2 full knee replacement surgeries, and, you know, I'm standing here today. I'm working out. I'm looking forward to doing the Atlanta Half Marathon on Thanksgiving. And I have to tell you, I don't know that I could have done it if I hadn't been 100% plant-based. I don't know if I could do what I'm doing now if it weren't for being 100% plant-based vegan. And that's my story.
Wow, I love that.
what an honor and a privilege that you got to be influenced by these great minds that have been contributing, you know, to the plant-based movement for so many years. And I love how you were like, you know, I'm going to try this and see, you know, I'm learning from these people. They seem to be really intelligent. They're absolutely 100% very passionate. You yes. can't doubt that. And so that's so cool that that's the introduction that you got, and both around the same age, right? Because are y'all the same age now?
Within a few months of each other. Hit 70 in May, and next week, Elaine hit 70. So yeah, we're
right there.
May, awesome. June, July. So V-Lynn, you're a Leo, just like me.
Yay.
Leo power.
Yeah. Oh, and happy birthday.
I love that. Happy birthday to you, too.
Thank you.
Okay, hey, well, what about me? What about me?
Happy belated birthday. Are you a Gemini or are you a Taurus?
I'm a Taurus. Taurus, okay. With a Scorpio rising.
Nice. Okay, well, let's talk about, especially since we just talked about passion, let's talk about people that struggle to find a specific life purpose. I'm sure y'all have a lot to say about career and purpose and life changes and all of these things, but what tips do you have for people who struggle to find a specific life purpose? We'll start with V-Lynn this time.
I would say you have to kind of turn things upside down for yourself. And a lot of times the universe does that. For people, the universe will help people to turn their lives upside down in order to really step into who they truly were called here to be and do. And, you know, our journeys are tremendous things, just like the human body is a tremendous mechanism. Our journeys are the same thing, because the stories that we create that start when we're born, how we're taken care of, what we grow up into and through, and as we become adults, knowing how influenced we are by our pasts, there comes a point in time where it's kind of like the rubber meets the road. You know, you just know something's got to change, something is going to happen, or you are in it. It's happening. And, you know, a lot of people talk about seeing the light at the end of the tunnel, yet that light may be the light of who they are truly meant to be. And we've seen career shifts. You know, we've seen, you know, I've got 3 degrees, yet what I'm doing now is nothing compared to what I was preparing for with those degrees. We've got people who are, starting life all anew. You know, one of the things for Kathleen and I is starting a new business at, you know, the age of 68 coming together. And here we are, you know, a couple years later at 70, and all of the people that we see historically that have started new business ventures and become, you know, Ray Kroc. I hate to say McDonald's, but, you know, Roy Kroc. At 70 years old, starting a business and becoming a mega billionaire business owner. And I know that it is passion. It is, you know, looking at what am I really here for? Why am I here? You know, I remember as a youngster, I had friends saying, I didn't ask to be born. Well, that's not quite right. Because what I know is before we were born, we made an agreement to come into this world to do something. And when we find that something, when we open our hearts up to say, show me what that something is, it comes. It actually wells up from inside of us. And we see how everything that we've been through, everything that we've learned, everything that we've experienced just gels into what the truth is about who we are and why we're here and what we are to do going forward. And, you know, I have so much respect for the unhoused people who are doing so much for other unhoused people. We don't know where they really are in life, because there are a lot of unhoused people that have money. So money may not be their issue. And what they really have seen, and this is the whole, we don't really know, they may have seen themselves as that being their mission and their purpose in life. Like, I woke up one day and said, my mission and purpose in this stretch of my life is to support the healthpreneurs and vegan entrepreneurs who are trying to make a difference in the world and adding to their voice, helping to amplify their voice, and really let others know that the kind of pain and suffering that humans are going through right now is really self-inflicted because we don't know better, because we don't know the truth. The truth has been hidden from us. The truth has been skewed for us. That is me. That is the passion that I put behind everything that I do as part of Vegan Visibility Productions, as a co-host of our own podcast, The Veganpreneur Revolution. And, you know, just that I think is also the passion that brought Kathleen and I together to work together and to move forward together. And I have to say, I'm so grateful for where life has me right now and the impact that I'm able to make in the world. You know, even if it's a little bit, it's huge because there's so much opportunity for people to learn this same information and save their lives and the lives of their families and loved ones. And that's where people will find themselves on that journey.
Oh, that's beautiful. Kathleen, what are your thoughts?
You know, one is just wake up every day and ask to be guided. I think that's a big part of it, because I know for me, when I was younger, I always thought my life purpose had to be something just magnificent and huge and, you know, world renowned. And I chased after that for many years, and I was always chasing something. And really was taken to my knees, literally taken to my knees, because I just made really bad life choices and ended up, I was one of those unhoused people in my 20s. And that was a direct result of drug and alcohol abuse. I've been sober 40 years. And, you know, that number in itself just boggles my mind. It's like, how did that happen, 40 years? Well, one day at a time it happened. And that's kind of how life is. And the whole thing that I've realized about purpose is that I'm here to serve. And for me, sometimes I have to deal with the whole issue of ego, that my ego is saying, well, you should be serving at a much higher level. You should be doing this, that, and the other, and, you know, get the name recognition. And that's what I used to chase. And when I quit chasing that, then it started coming to me, which is really interesting. But for me, my life purpose actually is very simple. It's how can I make somebody else's day better today? How can I make my day better? How can I make somebody else's day better? And I had a situation the other day where there was a special needs man at the grocery store behind me. He had one item, and I turned to him and I said, is that all you have? And he said, yes. And I said, well, go ahead. You know, you go in front of me. And it made his day. He was thrilled. He said, you're such a nice person. So I had the opportunity to tell him how what we see in another person is often what is true about ourselves. So I said, you must be a really nice person. He said, I am. And it was in that moment that I thought, you know, make his day even better. And so I had the clerk put his item on my bill. And he was just beyond thrilled. And I thought, for today, that's my purpose. For today, it's just making his day a little bit brighter. And I think that for me, when I keep that in mind, everything unfolds as it should. I have certain areas that I don't cross that invisible line, and V-Lynn and I were talking about this yesterday. There's no question that alcohol is not a part of my life. There's no question that drugs are not a part of my life. And used to be when people would say, what was your drug of choice? And it's like, well, what do you have? That's the kind of drug addict I was. And to the point that it literally did take me to the streets. And I grew up in an environment where that was not the environment. I grew up in a very good home. I had a loving mother and father. So it was through my own choices that I ended up where I was at. And now when I see the unhoused people, when I see people that are struggling on the streets, I go, but for the grace of God, there go I. And so for me, purpose is really about knowing where my limits and boundaries are and what I won't, you know, there's no question about I will not consume animal and dairy. It's not going to happen. There's certain criteria in my relationship. I've been in a 35-year relationship. There's certain criteria that makes the relationship good. There's certain criteria that I know that if I did certain things, it would make the relationship bad. So it's really looking at what my own guiding light is in life and connection to source. V-Lynn and I, you know, this is very important to us in our business. And we even have a practice that before we send out a contract to a client, we'll pray on it and we'll ask for the highest good of all concern. And there are times that the contract gets signed. There are other times that people say, you know, this isn't a fit right now, or we'll say, you know, this isn't a fit right now. And it's because we're being guided to the higher level. So for me, purpose is really about simplicity. It's about gratitude. And if I forget that I have something to be grateful for, all I have to do is go back 40 years ago and look at where my life was then and look at what I was doing, look at the chaos that I lived in. And what I realize today is there are those of us who have been given the level of awareness to know that we can live as an example of what's possible. Because you look at the world situation right now, the world is upside down. And if we can be a guiding light to others to say it can be a lot simpler, it can be a lot more loving, it can be kinder to others. And that kindness starts with kindness to ourselves and then kindness to the animals, kindness to other human beings. And that's not always easy. I mean, it's oftentimes easier said than done because, you know, you can be in this really contemplative place and place of gratitude. You go out on the road and somebody cuts you off and all of a sudden all that gratitude and that kindness and love goes out the window. So it's really living life as your practice of meditation. So it really in answer to your question, life purpose for me is about being grateful. Life purpose is about realizing that I am human. I love the title because it as a human, sometimes I think we think we should be further along than we are, instead of just saying, okay, this is who I am today. What can I do to make myself a better person for today? What tools do I have in my toolbox? What practices can I put in place? And it really just boils down to kindness.
Well, V-Lynn already answered this question, Kathleen. So why are you so passionate about helping vegan businesses grow?
One is because I think the world is in a world of hurt, and I think so many issues stem from the lack of awareness and consciousness around the pain and suffering that animals go through. And that when you take it on a spiritual level, when you're putting that pain and suffering into your body, it's got to come out somewhere. When you look at the amount of chaos and destruction going on in the world today, and you look at where that really started happening at the level that it's happening today, a lot of it is due to ultra-processed foods. A lot of it is due to the animal suffering that goes into our body. And so for me, if I can help raise awareness around healthy vegan eating and healthy vegan businesses, then that's the job that for today I've been tasked with. When I first became vegan and really identified as vegan, I got my certification through E. Cornell University, and I thought I should be a nutritionist. I thought that's what God wants me to do. And then I realized that's not who I am. That's not what my purpose is. My purpose is to use the skills and the gifts that I've been given, and I'm a marketer. That's what I do, and that's what we do in Vegan Visibility Productions. We do a lot of marketing. We do strategic planning. We do visibility strategies. And so I realized, wait a minute, you don't have to get off the path of what the gift is that you have. It's just shifting it to the market of people who can do more good in the world.
Well, this is probably good for just one of you to answer. What is ethical entrepreneurship?
I believe ethical entrepreneurship is, and where I spent a lot of my years of business development and business development coaching, is social entrepreneurship. I don't think that those that are unaware or those who act less than ethically with the highest level of integrity, they're not going to be in a space where they're giving from their businesses, that where their level of integrity is easily seen in their businesses. One of the things that we make clear is that there are certain parts of how we work with our clients. They have to be 100% plant-based, vegan, void of all dairy and animal products. And that's because there is a piece of alignment that's not just a heart alignment, but it's an energetic alignment. You know, if we want God, the universe, whoever you choose to call that energy to support our efforts and what it is that we're doing, there's certain ethical things, ethical rules. I'll even call them rules. And one of which is to be a giver. One of them is to be honest and to be forthright with what it is that you are doing. And even if it's someone who struggles with, you know, I'm an introvert and it's hard for me to say what it is that I need to say to someone to let them know that this is right or this is wrong or this is something that I don't want to participate in because it doesn't align with me. An ethical person will actually put that aside and drum up the courage to say and do what is the right thing to say and do. And, you know, we are human. I love the show, the name, the concept. We are human. And as humans, we are not perfect. We are human. And in our humanity, compassion, the ahimsa concept, is something that I think is part of the ethical rule for us to not only show to ourselves, but show to others as well. And in that space of compassion, you do have things like kindness and reciprocity and saying thank you when you can say thank you. And that is, for me, that's acting ethically in your life, in your business. And, you know, again, when we expect perfection, we never get it. When we expect compassion, you will get near perfection almost always. I think that is the beauty of being human. That's where heart comes in. That's where, you know, when you marry your heart and your head, you can see people for who they are. You know someone is trying or someone who really wants to make a change, to make their health better, to make their lives better, to start their 40-year journey to living a better life. And when you are in a space of being ethical and in your living that principle, I think it's easy for you to also bring in compassion. And even if that's saying, you know, it's fine and you can let them go, you got your journey to walk. I think that more people, and we're in a political climate right now, that ethics is a huge piece of the conversation. And I think it should be. It's required when you're talking about leaders of major world forces. It's required. And we've seen so many people and things done in a less than ethical way. It's like, how can you say that that is right when you know it isn't? And, you know, I hear a lot of people talking about, well, you're so black and white. You're so, you know, there's no gray areas. Like, you know, when you're talking about somebody doing the right thing, no, there's no gray area. And, you know, if you are an ethical person, if you are a person that has compassion for others and yourself, even if it's painful, you know, to admit a mistake, you know, you are showing your level of ethics and integrity. And the world needs more of that. The world needs more people talking about it, being the example of it. And the critiques that go on. There's even an ethical criticism that can be made where you're not criticizing somebody to cut them down, but you're sharing feedback that, you know, ultimately you hope will help them to do better, to be better. You know, Maya Angelou said, you know, when I know better, I can do better. And what I know, what we know, is there are a lot of people in our world today that don't know what the better is. And that's why we're here as teachers and examples and amplifiers of this movement and message to help people to, you know, have that veil dropped just a little and a little and a little. And so their eyes are open, their minds are open. And then at some point they get that connection to heart and they can act in a different way towards themselves, which ultimately will benefit animals and our planet.
And I love how Kathleen said earlier that y'all have this desire for everything to work out for the greatest good of both parties, for everybody. And I think that whenever we have a scarcity mindset that we're not going to get enough, you know, there's lack, that's when we could potentially start to act unethically. But once we start believing that it is possible that things could work out for the best good for everybody, for all parties involved, everybody can have their desires met, then we start relaxing and we're able to act in that way that's more aligned to our values and not feel like we have to, you know, be dishonest or, you know, just be always grasping for a little bit more because there's not enough. I think right. That not enoughness is what leads to all those problems.
September 29th is World Heart Day to raise awareness of the number one global cause of death, cardiovascular disease. We know that two critical risk factors for the development of cardiovascular disease are high cholesterol and diabetes, but so many people are living with high cholesterol and elevated blood sugars without a clue. If you want to live a longer, healthier life, it is essential to know your numbers so that you can take control of your health and make changes as needed. But we all know that getting labs is not an easy task. First, you have to see your doctor. Then they have to order the labs. Then you go to the lab and hope they can draw your blood without too much pain. And then wait for results. Once you have the results, you may not even know what they mean. What if there was a better way? SciFox Health has pioneered a novel approach to create the most comprehensive, most convenient, and least expensive at-home blood test on the market. They are the easiest, most affordable way to check your blood biomarkers. They give you the ability to test 17 critical blood biomarkers in a single at-home kit. It's easy to use and offered at an incredibly low price. It's clinically accurate, and you don't need a doctor's order to obtain it. If you want to decrease your risk of cardiovascular disease, there are several key biomarkers that can give you a picture of your cardiovascular and metabolic health. The SciFox Health Kit includes total cholesterol, triglycerides, HDL, LDL, ApoB, apolipoprotein A1, and hemoglobin A1C. ApoB is now being recognized as an important indicator of cardiovascular health, and most people have never had this blood test measured. SciFox Health reports are not just raw data. The team at SciFox created a unique scoring system called the Axes of Wellness that spans different health and lifestyle categories, such as inflammation, metabolic, and cardiovascular health. With this, they take the guesswork out of interpreting your results and empower you with actionable insights to improve your wellness. You can view your results in your secure dashboard, which includes personalized recommendations. It's very easy and convenient. Your kit is mailed directly to your home. Then you open your kit and simply follow the instructions. You supply just a few drops of blood and mail it back in a prepaid envelope. And incredibly, you get your results in a few days. It really is that simple. You don't need to drive anywhere or call the doctor's office repeatedly to get results. It's affordable and you have actionable data at your fingertips. Before I completed my first SciFox Health Kit, I had never had my ApoB measured, and I was so glad to have this piece of data about my cardiovascular health. SciFox Health is the easiest, most affordable way to routinely check your blood biomarkers and stay on top of your health. I'm so excited to be working with SciFox Health. Visit scifoxhealth.com/yami to get 20% off to test your blood at home and begin working toward a healthier you. That's scifoxhealth.com/yami.
Well, it's official. Back to school season has begun. Why does it always seem to sneak up on me? We are now in the whirlwind of drop-offs and pickups, sport practices, and parent volunteer hours. There is so much to do all the time. That's why I'm really glad we have ways to keep eating healthy even when the schedule is bursting at the seams.
If you want to ensure that you will be able to put delicious and nutritious meals on the table during the busy school fall season, I highly recommend Green Chef. Green Chef is the number one meal kit for eating well, delivering pre-portioned and prepped quality whole foods with limited process ingredients. Green Chef sends organic, fresh produce and chef-designed recipes in every box for satisfying, nourishing, and convenient meals that make it easy to stick to a healthy living routine. You get to choose from 80-plus flavor-packed options that allow you to take back time in the kitchen with dinner ready in 30 minutes. Here's the best part. Green Chef delivers everything you need to make convenient, wholesome, and delicious meals directly to your doorstep. Each meal kit includes pre-measured ingredients, as well as some produce that comes already pre-chopped, as well as custom sauces that are pre-made in-house. They also provide the recipe cards, and the meals are very simple to make. It's a delicious, fresh, home-cooked meal without the hassle. Green Chef takes the stress out of cooking. The recipes are easy to follow and everything you need is included, so even less experienced cooks in your house can prepare a delicious home-cooked meal. I appreciate the variety of plant-based meals available. This week we had curry-spiced sweet potato wraps, mushroom artichoke and pesto flatbreads, and spicy peanut and veggie sesame rice bowls. Those were extremely delicious. The recipes are so yummy and approved by the whole family. I love that they include lots of veggies for a delicious and nutritious meal. The vegan meal kits are hearty, so you don't have to worry that you'll go hungry. And now you have the option to double your portion of protein or veggies, and you can swap to a plant-based protein like organic tofu or tempeh. We have loved using Green Chef in our household. If you want fresh, home-cooked, healthy meals to put on the table, look no further than Green Chef. And now, take your healthy routine further with 2 times the support. You get to select from Green Chef's healthiest menu ever and access thousands of top-rated gyms and fitness studios worldwide from ClassPass. For a limited time, new Green Chef subscribers will also receive 50 free credits to use at ClassPass, about a month's worth of membership. Go to greenchef.com/IamHumanClass for 50% off your first box plus 50 free credits with ClassPass. That's code IamHumanClass at greenchef.com/IamHumanClass to get 50% off your first box plus 50 free ClassPass credits. Green Chef, the number one meal kit for eating well. If you're obsessed with real-time data and want to know what's going on with your metabolism, you'll want to try Lumen. Lumen is the world's first handheld metabolic coach. It's a device that measures your metabolism through your breath. On the app, it tells you if you're burning fat or carbs and gives you tailored guidance to improve your nutrition, workouts, sleep, and even stress management. It can also track your cycle as well as the onset of menopause and adjust your recommendations to keep your metabolism healthy through hormonal shifts so you can keep up your energy and stave off cravings. All you have to do is breathe into your Lumen first thing in the morning and you'll know whether you're burning mostly fats or carbs. Then Lumen gives you a personalized nutrition plan for that day based on your measurements. Lumen will give you tips to keep you on top of your health game. Listen up. Metabolic health matters. Most chronic diseases that are preventable with diet and lifestyle habits are caused by dysfunctions in metabolism. When you have a healthy metabolism, you feel better and you perform better. You have improved sleep, healthy weight maintenance, and enough energy to do the activities that you love. I'm getting back on my routine after celebrating my birthday for a few weeks, and I'm using my Lumen to get back into my fasting regimen. I use my Lumen every morning upon waking, and it really helps me stay on track. The insights you get from Lumen can be very helpful for those trying to optimize their energy levels, sleep, or those using intermittent fasting to reach their health goals. So if you want to take the next step in improving your health, go to lumen.me/DrYami to get 15% off your Lumen. That's lumen.me/DrYami for 15% off your purchase. Thank you, Lumen, for sponsoring this episode. Armoire makes getting dressed easy. With a clothing rental membership from Armoire, build the perfect wardrobe with brands that are high quality, unique, and recommended just for you. All you have to do is take a 5-minute style quiz and select items from your dynamic personalized closet. The styles show up at your door in as little as 2 days. Then, when you're ready for new clothes, just swap them out for more new-to-you styles. Renting from Armoire is perfect for me because I love fashion. I get bored easily. I love to try new things with low commitment, and I'm also a minimalist who is budget conscious. Clothing rental just makes sense. It's so fun. You get to try new styles that you may not be brave enough to buy and keep forever, and your wardrobe stays fresh and updated. We live in a small old house with tiny closets that get cluttered easily, but I love clothes. I don't want to compromise. I want to look cute and feel great, and with clothing rental, it's a win-win. My first shipment of rental items arrived quickly, and all my items were neatly folded, clean, and ready to wear. The first item I tried on was a pair of overalls from Wild Fang, and I've already worn them 3 times because they're adorable and so soft and comfy. Today, I'm wearing a beautiful floral linen wrap dress from Yumi Kim, and I feel so feminine. It's really elevated my mood. I have 4 more items to try this week, including some cute corduroy wide leg ankle pants, a pair of super wide leg jeans, a sophisticated midi dress, and a puffy sleeve V-neck sweater. Getting dressed in the morning is exciting, and I feel great all day. There are so many reasons to try Armoire. First and foremost, you'll always have something new to wear without the hassle and closet clutter. It's affordable. They have many plans to choose from, depending on how often you'd like to swap out your outfits, but it could actually save you money in the long run. It's sustainable. You no longer have to feel bad about only wearing an outfit once, letting it sit in your closet for years until you finally donate it. It also feels good to support a company that is women-founded and women-led. And finally, Armoire can help you define your personal style. It gives you recommendations based on your body type and what you already like, but it also gives you the freedom to explore different styles you may not otherwise buy. If you've never tried something like this before but feel intrigued, I recommend that you give it a try. Right now, my listeners can give Armoire a try and get up to 50% off their first month. That's up to $125 off. Just visit armoire.style/Dr. Yami. That's armoire.style, armoire.style/DRYAMI, to get up to 50% off your first month and never worry about what to wear again. Try Armoire today.
Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
Kathleen, if you could tell me in your words what you think the power of the pivot and reinvention is in your life and career. Ooh. You know, y'all are at the stage where you've had lots of lives within your lifetime. And some of us think, oh, you know, you pick a career, that's it for the rest of your life, right, and it's over. Tell me about how pivoting or how reinvention can really influence you in your life.
That is such a great question. Thank you for asking that, because both V-Lynn and I were raised in an era where your goal was that you get the job, you stick with the job for whatever number of years, decades, and you get the gold watch when you retire, that kind of thing. And that's that's not the reality today because there's so much fluidity in life. But one of the things, I want to go back to ethics and share a thought that was given to me by, I think I first heard it from Tony Robbins and then from one of my mentors, but you will be rewarded for in public what you do in private. And oftentimes people have one face in public and they have another face in private. And I know for me, when I'm doing things like, okay, V-Lynn and I had this conversation yesterday, when I indulge in junk food, vegan food, nothing with animal-based products, but there's a lot of junk food out there. When I do that, I'm so out of alignment with who I want to be and who I desire to be and who I strive to be. And that really ties in with the fluidity of our career too. If we're sticking with something because of the paycheck, if we're sticking with something because we think that's what we're supposed to be doing or people are telling us, oh, you're so good at this, this is what you should be doing, then we may not be honoring the next level of who we are meant to be. And so I think in careers, I've been through many, many, many careers. I've been in broadcast media. Actually, when I first got sober, I literally was digging ditches. A friend of mine hired me to work with her landscape company, and she was paying me cash. And she said, what you have to do is you literally have to dig these irrigation lines. And I remember in the bars, you know, it was like I thought I was somebody and I was nobody. And one day somebody came and they saw me literally digging a ditch and they go, what are you doing? And I said, I'm making an honest day's living. And they said, do you know who you are? And I said, yes, I'm an alcoholic. And it was in that moment that I had the opportunity to really be honest about who I am. And so what I know about careers is the career that we are meant to do is the career that is aligned with who we are in that moment in time. It's just like when I thought I was going to be a nutritionist, I realized that's not really what I'm here to do. Now, I can learn about nutrition so that I can more readily share that information with people, but that's not my career path at this point in time. Does it mean it won't be at some point in the future? I don't know. But for me, the whole idea of changing careers is as we get more information, the greatest gift that we can give back to the world is to honor that and to say, okay, now I've learned something new. And, you know, I was thinking about how oftentimes we think, okay, we're going to change the whole world. The only person that we need to change is ourselves so that we can influence others in our behaviors, the way we behave, the way we act, the beliefs that we have. And I've had people say, do you think you being vegan is really going to make a difference? And it's like the old starfish story. Well, to that one starfish you threw back, it sure makes a difference. To that one chicken I didn't eat, to that one cow I didn't eat, to the one animal I didn't abuse, yes, it does make a difference. And it makes a difference to me because I know what my truth is. And my truth doesn't necessarily mean it's somebody else's truth, but what I do know to be true, and this is something that I really focus on through my blogging, through my podcast interviews, through the communications that I have, is people have been lied to. People have been lied to from the big food manufacturers, from healthcare, from big pharma. And part of what our gift is with what V-Lynn and I do is we share the truth about, okay, let's look at the information you've been given. How true is it? You look at the advertising on TV and how brainwashed people are with the advertisements for big pharma. And people really believe this information to be true. And then when you pull back the veil and you realize these people are in careers for the monetary gain more than the people gain. And so it's really, for me, when I can look at what I'm doing and say, am I putting people over profits or profits over people? Then I know if it's people over profits, then I know I'm doing the right thing.
I love that. That's beautiful. Well, I'd love to hear from you, V-Lynn, about tips for aging with grace and fire. Also, I want to hear about your running career and have you done a half marathon before? So tell me all the details about that.
Interesting. You should ask, and thank you. That's a great question. In my early days, I had a dual career. So I made my 40-year career in commercial real estate lending. And I climbed the ladder. I became an executive in mortgage banking industry. And I called my biggest accomplishment to be that I was a leader and creator of high performance teams. And I was doing that in such an unusual at that time way, because the leadership that I grew up under, which was male dominated and do this and do it the way that I said do it, versus, you know, having people contribute their ideas to how something was going to be done to get the most efficient and effective result. And so that really gave me a lot of juice in my life. But I knew that something was missing early on because I found somebody called Jane Fonda, who was a workout animal to me. And I loved it because I grew up in a family where I was told repeatedly, you're a girl, you can't do that. I wanted to go ride my bike. I wanted to go climb a tree. I wanted to go, you know, run up and down the street. I wanted to go skating. And I was always told, you can't do that. You're not supposed to do that. And then seeing me do those things, I always got the, you shouldn't be doing that. You're a girl. I was like, well, what does that have to do with anything? But, you know, we file that in the back of our minds. And as I went through high school, I learned to draw and to sew and to type, which I loved doing all of that too. For about 5 years, I made all of my clothes from junior high through high school. I made all of my clothes and I was styling. I was like, I was very proud of all of that too. But somewhere it was like that really wasn't enough to hold me. And, you know, as I got through school and started a family, I even made my kids' clothes for a little while. But then I was like, but I need something more. And so Jane Fonda somehow showed up front and center, and the whole leg warmers and everything. And I started working out. I started running. And I thought, oh my gosh. And I was in all of these classes and, you know, I had a little bit of ego back then too. I was like, I could do this better than they can, than them. Or, you know, it was even, I like this and I think I would like doing that, which was instructing classes. And so I ended up getting 3 certifications as a fitness instructor before I started instructing. And unbeknownst to me, you know, I just knew, like Kathleen said, you get into that space and you know that this is where you are, your best life now. And I was talking about doing, you know, teaching, and a friend of mine said, just go around the corner to the gym and tell them you're an instructor and you want to get put on the substitutes list. So I ended up saying that was really easy. I went around the corner to the gym. I was like, you're looking for an instructor. They're like, I'll put you on the sub list. I got a call the next day. I subbed 3 times that week. It turns out that the girl at the gym was leaving. She was moving. And she's like, people already love you. Do you want this job? I was like, yes. And that was the start of it. I ended up over time at 5 different gyms, packed classes. It was so much fun. I taught at one gym where Evander Holyfield lived close by and would come and work out on occasion. He'd come and jump in a class every once in a while. And that was where it all started. I became a personal trainer and somebody said, well, let's go for a run. I was like, okay, run. And I started running. I started doing 5Ks and 10Ks. I can't tell, hundreds of them over the years I've run. I don't know how many half marathons and only two marathons. And I was like, yeah, 26 miles. I'll leave that to those who really want to do that. But, and then I started, I was a amateur bodybuilder. I did kickboxing. I trained with Billy Blanks for a couple of years. I was an extreme athlete back then. And my kids grew up in the gym. We used to teach each other. They were the gym rats. I was the mama rat. And my kids played competitive racquetball. So that world was so familiar to me. It was a love of mine. And the biggest thing that I realized in all of those years of getting certified and recertified, there was nothing about nutrition. And even in cycling, you know, my later years, I started cycling at 50. And my 55th birthday, I rode 55 miles after work as a training ride. And then I came home, cleaned up, and went out to dinner with friends. Cycling became that kind of an extreme sport for me. I've ridden, I don't know how many 100-mile bike rides. My typical training ride was 50 miles, 25 out and 25 back. And, you know, there's no wonder my knees finally said, okay, girlfriend. But, you know, I can also, my body also remembers how good this felt for me. And I remember all that I was able to accomplish as I was in my physical self. I was also in my spiritual self and my creative self, running these high performance teams and being a leader and an inspiration to men and women who, you know, decades later, I'm still sort of quasi in touch with them because I got my daughter into the industry. And some of these people are still in the industry. They remember me. They see her because they knew her. You know, she worked for me, for my managers and under me. And, you know, how's your mom doing? I'm like, wow, you know, and your mom was such an influence on me. And, you know, she just gave me such good advice. I learned so much from her. And, you know, those are things that you live doing, and you never know if you're going to reap the reward of that. You never know how you've impacted someone's life. And I think with what I'm doing now, the expectation is the same. I am doing to that caliber, and I may never know how much what I've done has influenced someone. You know, I'm the speaker coordinator for the Georgia Veg Fest this year. I'm so excited about that because I get to help these people who want to get this message out here. And there's almost 3,000 people coming to Georgia Veg Fest. And my thinking is, how can I get them in the room to listen to these speakers? Because that's where a lot of the good information is going to come from. If you've ever been to a Veg Fest, there's a lot of stuff at a Veg Fest that's kind of the whole junk food vegan stuff. And so learning the plant-based way and just how to do this life better. I think there's so many of us who want to know, but don't know where to look for the best information. And so my athleticism is coming back to me. I spent a few years outside of it all wondering, well, what am I missing? It's like, oh, that's it.
What a journey, V-Lynn. That's an amazing, you were like a fitness instructor superstar, it sounds like. rose the ranks in that world too. But I love how you're continuing to participate and get out there. So, I started running with my mom, and she wanted to run her first full marathon at 60. So she ran her first full marathon at 60. We ran two full marathons together, many half marathons, but, you know, she misses it now too. And she's like, oh, I miss the races and the music and the crowds. And so I told her, let's pick another one. Even if you can't run it, you can walk it. There's lots of walker-friendly races where they leave it open long enough for people to walk it. And it gives you that opportunity to be inspired by all the people that are living that active lifestyle, which is such an inspiration. It's so exciting. So thank you so much for sharing that. Well, ladies, I think it's time to do the wrap-up questions. Y'all have shared lots of great information. So I'd love to hear from each of you. We'll start with Kathleen. What do you wish more people knew?
Ooh. What a great question. And, you know, it really ties in with what V-Lynn was talking about, what you said about your mom doing her first marathon at 60. I was 61 when I did my first marathon. And my claim to fame is I always come in last on marathons. And literally on my first one, they closed the gate. And my friends were like, no, 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 she worked really hard for this. You got to leave the gate open. And I finished beyond the time, the legitimate time or the legal time. And so the next year, I decided to do it again, just so that I could come in within the specified time. And I did, but I still came in last. But what I think really I got from our conversation today and what I want to leave people with is you create your own reality. You really do create, you create your own opportunities, I should say, because when V-Lynn was talking about working at the gym, she went in and she said, I'm a substitute or I'm here to be an instructor. She created that opportunity. Many people sit and wait for opportunity to come to them, and luck has been defined when opportunity and preparedness meet. So just go about your life, do what you're here to do, and as opportunity presents itself, which it does all the time, you know, when people say, oh, I'm looking for a sign, and then they hear a podcast show that has a message, that's the sign right there. Oftentimes, we think the mountains have to part, and not necessarily. It's like, show up, suit up, show up, and do the next indicated step. And sometimes life will put a block in your way in order for you to go a different direction, because that's where the opportunity resides. So what I encourage people to do, and my final thoughts for people is, live life to the fullest, whatever that means to you. If it means being kind to somebody in the grocery store, that's living life to the fullest. It doesn't have to be some monumental experience that you're having. And to realize that you are an example. The way you live your life, you are an example and an influence to others. How do you want to influence others? One of the things that V-Lynn and I both are very committed to as older women, which that kind of shocks me. It's like, oh, you're an old woman. I actually am considered elder. In some circles, I'm an elderly woman, and it's like, really? No. But the reality is I want to live as an example of what's possible. My sister is a fine artist. I have so much respect for the work that she does. Ever since she was a kid, she just had such a creative flair. But she went through a period like many people do, where she didn't think that she could live her passion. She is now a very, very successful fine artist. She's 72 years old, and she really came into her own in her 60s. It wasn't until her 60s that she finally gave herself permission to just do what she was here to do. And she said, I love what you're doing, Kathleen. And I told her, I said, I have so much respect for the work you do. And she goes, but I have so much respect for the work you do. We didn't realize that we were each influencing each other by living our passion. So know that who you are, people are watching. Now, are they watching somebody who is really honoring what you're here to do? Or are they watching somebody who shies away from opportunity, somebody who is living a dual life, if you will? Because many, many people live dual lives. And the greatest freedom that you have is to have no secrets, to live in a way that you don't have to hide who you are. You don't have to live in the imposter syndrome. So I really thank you, Dr. Yami, for having us on your show, and that to know that I am human. And as a human, I do have flaws. And as a human, I do have opportunity. And as a human, I do have the opportunity to share my perspective on shows like yours. So thank you very much for that.
I love it. Well, we have a few more questions, so you're not going, don't go away yet.
Okay.
So V-Lynn, what do you wish more people knew?
I wish more people knew that answers lie in the questions that you ask. Asking better questions is something that I always think about, because I'm a curious individual. And I think that that's part of what makes us better teachers, is because we're asking our own questions. We want to know more ourselves. And when you're in a place where you're curious about, will this plant-based lifestyle really help me? Will living this a life under the precept of lifestyle medicine, will that really do anything to benefit me? You know, I don't want to give up my glass of wine a day. And you're saying these things because, honestly, you may not know that the answer lies in a question you may not have asked, like, is one glass of alcohol taking 10 years off of my life? Is one glass of alcohol a day taking more than 10 years off my life? If I'm consuming animal products as well, what can I do to make sure that my children have the best life ahead of them? And the answer comes in looking at what it is that I'm feeding them. And if you're not asking questions like that, you have to realize that you may be missing some things. And I want people to ask questions, be curious. And even if it takes you on a journey. Enjoy the journey of learning this information, because what you do for yourself and your family in plant-based eating, you're doing wonders for the animals and even more for the planet, because as they are cutting down more trees and trees in the rainforest in order to grow food to feed animals that then get killed to go on people's plates, we're missing the mark. We're missing the point. And then the waste that comes from that process alone that then gets dumped in the ocean and ends up totally devastating ocean life. It's like, you have to ask, what am I doing to contribute to the world being a better place? Or what am I doing to contribute to the world not being the best place for my kids and my grandkids and for the generations to come after? And if you're saying, I don't care about them, I only care about me, then ask the question, why is that so? Because there are a lot of us who are just on all of those different vectors of that journey forward. And if you are asking those kinds of questions, being curious about who you are and how you're contributing to the world, answers are going to come to you. Reminds me of the saying that when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. And your teacher may not be a person, but rather information. Your teacher may be a gateway to an experience that totally shifts everything for you. And it all came from asking a question.
I love that. That's very wise. And it's very profound how sometimes when we turn things around, instead of saying, am I going to be able to do this? Da, 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 how can I do this? If I were to accomplish this, how would I accomplish this? And then that your mind opens up and it is going to try to solve that for you. All right, just a couple more questions. So we'll try to keep it brief because we're running out of time. So for each of you, we'll start with Kathleen. Is there a goal or a dream that has evaded you or something that you have left on your bucket list that you'd be willing to share with us?
Yes, that's my short answer. And and the answer is, I've always wanted to go to India, and I have yet to do that. And I've also wanted to do the Camino, I don't know the full name of it, the 500-mile trek through Spain. A friend of mine, I've been watching her journey, and that is one of my bucket list items. But overall, it's really interesting. Most of what I've wanted to accomplish, I have. And what I know to be true is the higher my expectations in life, the lower my serenity. So I keep my expectations in a way that it's truly about what can I do to enjoy today. But truly, one of my bucket list goals is the 500-mile trek and going to India.
Awesome. I love that. How about you, Velen?
Machu Picchu. Climbing Machu Picchu and being able to just feel, and I seriously feel the energy of the Incas and the Mayans and the people who are descendants who are there today doing their work. And I love the fact that the communities there are so self-supporting. The schools there are so self-supporting, and I would love to be an influence even there around just shining a light on the importance of a whole food, plant-based diet and lifestyle, because while that area, a lot of the food that they consume is ground to table, it's not considered in a way that is looking at helping the animals and the planet. And so to bring that into their hospitals are still serving the patients food that is not the healthiest. And, you know, I guess for me at this stage, Machu Picchu is probably at the top of the list, but there are other places in the world that I have always been wanting to get out into the communities. It's different this time because there's, you know, the party in peace is done. And this time I really want to meet the restaurant owners and the chefs and talk about, You know, you've got all this beautiful land in the back. Why not grow some of your own vegetables that you can serve? And, you know, cooking without salt and oil and sugar and really still having such a robust flavor in the foods. And that's what's on my bucket list. Thank you for asking that too.
I've been to Machu Picchu, and that was before I feel like I was as spiritually awakened as I am now. And I will attest to the fact that there's something very special about that place. Because even back then, when I was a college student, I could feel that there's something magical in Machu Picchu. And I got to spend a whole day there. We just did part of the Inca Trail, not the whole thing. On my bucket list is doing the Inca Trail with my husband and my sons, the whole Inca Trail. But I highly recommend you go, and it's an amazing, magical place, and the food in Peru is delicious. I went there before I was vegan, but the thing I remember the most is the potatoes and how delicious they are. So I've always been more plant-leaning. I never loved meat even before I went vegan, so I always gravitated to the plants. Okay, last question before I have y'all tell us where we can find all of your wonderful things for each of you. What does it mean to be human? Kathleen, I'll let you go first.
It means to have imperfections, and in that imperfection, we are perfect. It simply means that we're trying to figure this out as we go along. You know, it's like right when I think I have it figured out, and I'm like, oh, I got that one going on. God or life or spirit has a way of not literally knocking me to my knees and saying, you got more to learn. So being human means that it's a whole learning process. It's a school that who knows where we go when we graduate. And that's part of the excitement. And I heard something recently of that when we can live in the space of knowing that we will die, then we live fully. So there it is.
I love it. How about you, Velin?
Being human for me is living in my imperfect perfection. And I've want to say that most of my life I have been in this perfectionist syndrome space, and you know, didn't do it quite right, and I was the loudest voice to beat myself up. And then I learned one day, I was like, you know, everybody makes mistakes, everybody is human, everybody is looking to do their best, and your best is all you can do. I had a mentor of mine one time that said, if you're doing your best, and your best is all that you can do. And I thought, you know what? That just brings it so home to heart. You know, and I think that was the piece that was missing, was what is my heart really saying? And it's always just said, I want to do my best while I'm here. And I wrote a book, Imperfectly Perfect, in order to ground my thoughts around it all, because that was a pivotal point in my life that, and I think it was not long after I retired from corporate and began my coaching business, because I had to say, you know, I'm not perfect and no one is, but let's just be imperfectly perfect in taking the next step. And when you can take the next step, you're making some moves. You know, I'm all about making moves too. And it's like, how do you make the next move? One step at a time. And you know,
I love it.
That is not perfect. I know people who can do that a lot better than me, but that's one step at a time. And that is imperfectly perfect.
I love that. That's so beautiful. Thank you both so much for this lovely conversation. Thank you for sharing your wisdom and your experience and for inspiring so many and guiding us along the path. If you could just tell my listeners where they can connect with you and what products and services you offer before we say goodbye.
The easiest way to find us is to go to veganvisibilityproductions.com. That's veganvisibilityproductions.com. And we offer an array of products and services all aligned with gaining visibility, with really honoring who you are as a vegan business. And we do everything from podcast show production. We do getting people on podcast shows. We help them with book launches, with visibility strategies, but mainly for for them to raise up their own vibration so that they can do what they're here to do in the world. So, V-Lynn, did you want to add anything to that?
I just have one thing to add to that, and that is as we work with healthpreneurs, plant-based and vegan entrepreneurs, we also look at creating and helping to elevate legacy businesses. And our philosophy around legacy is, you know, most people think your legacy is what you have left when you're gone. We believe that you live your legacy. And we work with those who are looking forward to living their legacy, knowing that what they're leaving, they may see things happening with, and then they may not. And it's all good. But it's the thought of living your legacy that, quite honestly, I got the download that people will do more. It's the heart, again, once again, expanding and saying, if I'm living my legacy, what am I doing? And you just happen to do a little bit more. And we bring that out of our clients in a beautiful way. And we love doing that.
Well, I love that you both are doing this work because it's very important. It's very valuable. So thank you both so much for sharing what you are doing and for taking the time in this time of your life to help other people do what they do better. So I appreciate you so much, Kathleen and V-Lynn, and I hope that you both have a very plantastic day.
Thank you so much.
I'm V-Lynn Hawkins.
And I'm Kathleen Gage. And
we are human.
Thank you for listening to another episode of I Am Human. I would be so honored if you subscribe to the podcast so that you never miss an episode. We love our listeners and take your feedback seriously. If you have questions or constructive feedback, you can email us at podcast@dryami.com. That's podcast@dryami.com. I am your host, Dr. Yami Cazorla Lancaster. I Am Human is produced by myself and Alejandra Parra. Graphics designed by Alejandra Parra. Music by Angela Sof with Glowbox Productions and edited by the Castos production team. Remember, human, you are here for a reason. Have fun, explore, and live your life to the fullest.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.